heads and a word of prayer. Father, we come before you this morning in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And during this Christmas season, as we celebrate the birth of our Savior, we pray that he would be made known to all the world, all those who do not know that great gift that has been given to all of mankind, the gift of a Savior, the gift of one who created all things, is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, yet he humbled himself to be made like man, fully God yet fully man, and he did so that he could live a perfect life in our behalf, that he could die a death that we had deserved, that he would rise again and conquer death again on our behalf so that we, like he, would be able to spend eternity with you in heaven. And Father, we pray that you would make that message known this morning throughout your churches, throughout not only this Christmas season, but all the year long, that everybody would recognize by the power of faith what you have done for them through your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you would be with those who are hurting this morning, those who have physical pain, those who have emotional pain, spiritual pain. Father, we pray that you would be with each one of them, that you would minister to their needs as only you can, that you would give them the power to recognize where true joy comes from, that it is rooted in what you have done for us and not our present circumstances. We pray that you would give them the faith to believe that and understand that. But most importantly, Father, we pray that you would give them the comfort of knowing that, that they would rest in what you have done through the power of your Son, the death and resurrection. But during this time, Father, we focus on that birth of your Son, our Savior, in that little cradle in Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago. And Father, we pray that you would speak to us this morning as the children and the adults come and they say their recitations and they sing the songs of praise to you. We pray that you would speak to each one of our hearts individually, that you would meet each one of us where we have need, where we have longing, where we have hurts. We pray that your word would touch us, that it would strengthen us, and that we would glorify you through the power of your Son, through the proclamation of your Son, that you would be glorified and lifted up. Now let us pray that perfect prayer which we find in your word that says, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's continue with song number 48, Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Thank you.
read Psalm 95, verses 1 through 8. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Amen.
Come, let us join the angels singing with voices clear and strong. When darkness lay upon this earth, a glorious light did shine.
God sent a gift to precious birth and showed his love divine.
Now to the manger let us go to worship and adore.
The tender babe upon the straw, our Savior evermore.
Our day of joy is here again, with love and hymns and songs. Come, let us join angelic strain with voices clear and strong. Glory to our and darkness lay upon this earth, a glorious light did shine. God sent a gift of priceless worth and showed His love divine. Glory to our God we sing, glory to our Lord and King. Peace, goodwill with all abide this holy Christmas tide. Now to the manger let us go, to worship and adore. The tender babe upon the straw, our Savior evermore. Glory to our God we sing, glory to our Lord and King. Peace, goodwill with all abide this holy Christmas tide.
My favorite part of the Christmas story is when the angel comes to Mary and says, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." This is my favorite part because after the angel told Mary she was to bear a son and call him Jesus, she asked, "How shall this be so, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel told her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee." A couple of verses after it says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible," and Mary believed him.
My favorite part of the Christmas story is when Jesus is born in the stable. I think there were cows, horses, and sheep there when he was born. I like this part because I like it when babies are born. They look so cute when they are so small. The wise men and shepherds came to see baby Jesus just like I like to see babies.
My favorite part of the Christmas story is the reason why Joseph and Mary, when she is pregnant, are in Bethlehem. They're in Bethlehem because Augustus taxed all men, so everybody there is to be taxed. But all the inns are full, so they are in the stable. Now we can just do taxes online or send them by mail. I like this part because God used it so baby Jesus could be openly visited. They will be visited because Mary had a baby, Jesus our Lord and everybody's Savior. They can be visited by the shepherds and the wise men in the stable. The stable is open for people to visit Jesus and to worship Him, the Son of God. Just like then, Jesus is accessible by reading the Word and listening to people talk, also by talking to family and friends about Him.
Jesus loves me, this I know, born in Bethlehem to show. God is with us, let us sing, He is Lord and He is King. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. In a manger He does lie. See the stars shine in the sky. Angels sing, their words proclaim, hallelujah to His name. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Shepherds, kings, and wise men kneel, worshiping the Lord who still, miracle of grace and love, Jesus comes from heaven above. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Okay, start over. All right. Test. Test, test. Getting that mic over there.
Oh.
All right, is that better? Okay. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3, 4.
Gentlemen, let nothing you dismay.
Let's move it closer. I think it'll work now that we've got the other one fixed. Test, test. Yeah, test, test. We'll just start with God rest you, merry gentlemen. Yeah. Right. 2, 3, 4.
God rest you, merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. From God our Heavenly Father a blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same, how that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Joy, joy, comfort, comfort and joy. Fear not, then, said the angel, let nothing you affright. This day is born a Savior of a pure virgin bride, to free all those who trust in Him from Satan's power and might. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Joy, joy, and comfort, comfort and joy. Shepherds at those tidings rejoiced much in mind. They left their flocks a-feeding in tempest, storm, and wind, and went to Bethlehem straightway, the Son of God to find. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Joy, joy, comfort and joy. they came to Bethlehem, where our dear Savior lay. They found him in a manger, where oxen feed on hay. His mother Mary kneeling down, unto the Lord did pray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Joy, joy, comfort and joy. Joy, joy, comfort and joy.
Christmas time, consider well and bear in mind what our good God for us has done in sending His beloved Son. With Mary holy, we should pray to God with love this Christmas day in Bethlehem. Upon the morn there was a blessed Messiah born. Near Bethlehem did shepherds keep their flocks of lambs and feeding sheep, to whom God's angels did appear, which put the shepherds in great fear. Prepare and go, the angel said, to Bethlehem. Be not afraid, for there you'll find this happy morn, a princely babe, sweet Jesus born. With thankful heart and joyful mind, the shepherds went the babe to find. And as God's angel had foretold, when they our Savior Christ behold, within a manger he was laid, and by his side the Virgin Maid, attending on the Lord of life,
who came on earth to end all strife. Prepare and go, the angel said, to Bethlehem. Be not afraid, for there you will find this happy morn, a princely babe, sweet Jesus born.
John 1:1-5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Man had turned from God. We would not and could not comprehend the light. So God sent Jesus to reveal Himself, to pay the price for our sins, and to bring us back into fellowship with Himself, so that our joy may be full.
Isaiah 9:6-7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Glorious Lord. Luke 2:1-7. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Sung for a couple weeks, so I'm really Ben, you had nothing on me there. In the wrong key here.
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch or keep? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Man. Why lies he in such mean estate, where ass and ox are fleeting? Could Christian fear for sinners hear, the silent word is pleading? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Man. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Man. The babe, the Son of Mary.
Luke 2:8-14. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of God shone round them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God, saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Luke 2:15-18. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which they were told by the shepherds.
What a blessing that we can praise God in such a variety of ways, whether it's songs or recitations or Bible readings. I appreciate the variety of ages, the variety of talents, the different styles. You could say there's a great variety of there, but there was unity in the Spirit. It was all done in the name of Christ Jesus. The message, there was a unity in message. And what a blessing it is when it's all, we as the body of believers, our praise to God is run through the life of Christ Jesus. And what a blessing to know that God is up there and he appreciates that praise that we give him when it's found in the body and blood of Christ Jesus, when it's praise of a believer, rising up to God, he is well pleased, and it is a sweet-smelling savor to his nostrils. I appreciated everyone's efforts and the time that it took to do each one of those things. For our meditation this morning, we're going to read a portion of the first letter of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Some of the program was actually Maddie's portion that she read, and in a lot of ways it was the theme of the program, but in a lot of ways it's just the theme of Christianity, that message of peace, joy, and love, the message of God our Savior sent in the form of man incarnate, God with us, Emmanuel. So let's read these words in the name of our Lord. It's John's first letter, chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For this life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Amen. We could ask who this message from John is declaring, and it's quite obvious that it's declaring Jesus, his Son, our Lord and Savior. And at that very first verse, we would see that it proclaims the two natures of God, fully God and fully man. When it starts with that which was from the beginning, that's not speaking of the beginning of creation, or when we would look back to the beginning of the Bible, that's not speaking of that time, but it is speaking of a time that was of eternity past, where God had perfect union with the Father and with the Spirit. We know this word tells us, and this indicates here, that Jesus was not a created being. God the Father didn't create him at the beginning of the world so that he might go through the motions of being a Savior, being in this life, but it was God from eternity past who was present at the beginning of the world that we know. So we see here that God was fully man. He was not a created being, but he was the creator of all things, or Jesus. For by him were all things created, and the heaven and the earth, the things that are seen and the things that are not seen. And why did this Jesus have to be fully man or fully God when he came in the flesh? Because we know how our efforts to save ourselves would go. We make a lot of mistakes in this life, and we all recognize that. As believers, we recognize how short we come of the glory of God, and when we try to do good, it doesn't quite work out that way. And we even see that John even states that the good that he would like to do, he doesn't do, but the bad things that he doesn't want to do, those are the things he does. And that's where our efforts go. So that's why Jesus, when he came, he had to be fully God. Only God could accomplish the things that needed to be accomplished for our salvation. But then it goes on to say here, we see the other nature of man when John proclaims that which we have heard and which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, that living word. John gives a testimony there that even though Jesus was fully God, he was yet fully man as well. He says they heard him. They heard the words of rebuke that he gave those unbelievers, primarily the Pharisees, those who thought they were righteous in and of themselves. We heard his words of comfort that he gave to those, his words of prophecy, the comfort that he gave to those who are in need, who are mourning, who are sad. We heard the praise and thanksgiving that he gave to God the Father. They heard that, I should say. John heard that, and he's proclaiming that here. They heard the gospel message that the Son of Man came not to destroy man's lives, but to save them. Those things that they saw, what did they see of this man, Jesus? They saw that perfect life that he lived on our behalf, although they wouldn't have recognized it at the time, not believing that he was even God, but yet he was fully man. So they recognized that. They saw his suffering on the cross, his death on the cross. But that wasn't all they saw. They saw his resurrected body where he walked and talked with them for some period of time after his resurrection. So they saw him in the flesh there. Their eyes, they looked upon him, and their hands handled God, handled Jesus. Further proof that he did come in the flesh, that he was fully God and fully man. We remember how Peter, when he wanted to meet God out on the water, he walked out on the water, and as he began to sink, he reached out and he grabbed Jesus' hand. He handled Jesus' hand, and he was comforted, knowing that he would be safe and that his fear would leave him, knowing that he was now in the hands of the Savior. We think of John, who rested his head on Jesus' bosom in comfort and love. They got to experience that fully human portion of God. We think of Thomas, too, how when he had his doubts, he was able to handle Jesus. He was able to thrust his hand in Jesus' side, dispelling the doubts that he had that this Jesus was some spirit, but that he was, in fact, a person, a living man who has risen from the dead. So that's that message that is proclaimed this morning, that Jesus came incarnate, fully God and fully man. And why did he have to be fully man? Why wasn't just being fully God sufficient? Well, we recognize that when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, that they were flesh. They were like us. They were humans. And the sacrifice of a God or some other being, another created being, wouldn't pay the price that was required for the sin of a human. But a human had to come and pay that price. And that human incarnate, that man, God in the flesh, was Jesus Christ, our Savior. So we see here that this message is proclaimed that he was fully God and fully man. And we could go on the text and see, why did they proclaim this message? And it says here in the third verse, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." We know in the garden when Adam and Eve, when that first sin came around, and they sinned as perfect representations of us, we couldn't pass it off to them and say, well, we wouldn't have done it. Well, no, that's not the case, because they are perfect representations of us. What they did, we would do, and what all human flesh would do. But when they sinned in that manner, they no longer sought that fellowship with God. They sought to hide. That fellowship had been broken because of the sin of Adam and Eve and the sin of humanity. They no longer sought to walk with God in the cool of the morning when he was there in the garden, but they sought to hide from him. So this fellowship needed to be restored. And we hear of a little bit of this fellowship in the book of Acts after Peter and John, the very John who wrote this gospel letter, after they were arrested for proclaiming the gospel, or they weren't arrested necessarily, they were detained by the priests in the temple for proclaiming the gospel. And when they were finally released, they had the company, those people that were with Peter and John. They praised God that they were released, and John and Peter relayed what had happened to them and how they had defended the gospel. And it says here that as they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. There's that fellowship that they had together, of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of these things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Even the possessions that they had there, they had such fellowship and unity, such a singleness of heart and soul, that the natural possessions that they had, they counted them as all, you know, what's yours is mine and what's mine is yours. And when we think of that, having that type of fellowship with God the Father and God the Son, it's an amazing thing, isn't it? Because what do we have that we could share with God? We have nothing really but our sinfulness, this life that we live. We try our best, but it's not good enough. And that's what we have given God. But what has he given us? He's given us this peace, this joy, this love. He's given us a Savior that has done all things for us. And that comes about with that unity, that fellowship with God the Father and the Son. And that's the fellowship, that's the message that they're proclaiming this morning, that even though in the garden, when man sinned, that fellowship was broken, this one incarnate Jesus, this God-man, came to unite that fellowship so that we would have fellowship together. And that's the message that is proclaimed here this morning in the letter of John, and the message that was proclaimed with the songs and the recitations that were even spoken this morning. And then we see also there's another reason. And they write these things onto us that your joy may be full. This joy spoken of here is not a joy that we find in this life when we get some new shiny thing. We would perhaps maybe better classify that as happiness. But it's a joy that's brought about as a response to the salvation of Jesus Christ. Being in the presence of the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit that is within every believer, that points us to Jesus Christ and reminds us what he has done on our behalf. That's the joy that we have. And we can be comforted knowing that it's a constant joy, right? When we experience different things, tragedies in this life, you could say, if our joy was based on things that we could lose in this life, it would be up and down, wouldn't it? We would have very bad days when those things which we held all of our joy in was now suddenly gone. And certainly even when our joy is anchored in Christ and what he has done, that unmovable object, that unmovable principle, he's always there, so we always have that joy. But naturally when something terrible does happen in this life, it shakes us, but that root of joy is still there because God hasn't changed. Our circumstance in life may have changed, but what our joy is rooted in has not changed. God is still there. What he has done doesn't change. God is an unchangeable God. So that message that they proclaimed was a reminder of the unity that we have in Christ and the joy that it brings, that unshakable joy found in Christ Jesus. So then we could go on and ask, what is that message? They proclaim Jesus. We see the reason that they proclaim that message, and then we would see what that message is. This then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So God is light. It's a difficult concept. I think we can all relate to the idea of light and darkness in a natural sense. We know that it doesn't take very much light at all to dispel darkness, and darkness really has no power over light. If you're in a room that you want it darker, we don't say, let's have more darkness. What do to make a room darker? You extinguish the light. You get rid of the light, and darkness is present then. But what is this light that's spoken of here when it says that God is light? I found a definition that a commentator came up with, and it was better than anything that I could come up with on my own, so I'll read it. It says that it's the source of wisdom, knowledge, holiness, and happiness. And in him is no darkness at all, no ignorance, no imperfection, no sinfulness, no misery. And from him wisdom, knowledge, holiness, and happiness are received by every believing soul. In other words, you could say another one said it this way, that light is perfection. It's a picture of perfection in the Bible. And we get a glimpse of that. I thought of when Moses in the Old Testament, when he went to Mount Sinai and he met with God, and he sought to see the glory of God. He asked God, could I see your glory? So God agreed, but he told Moses that he would have to put him in the cleft of a rock. He'd have to put him in a crack between two rocks to protect him. And God also told him that he could not see his face, but if he did, that he would die. But as God walked by, he covered up Moses with his hand so that Moses would be protected. And Moses was able to see the back of God as he walked by. And we know the radiance of that light that shone there from God in his presence. It was so great that when Moses went down from that mountain, his exposure to the presence of the perfect light of God, that his face still glowed with that illumination that was from God, and they had to put a veil over it because it was the brightness of it. So we see there a picture of that perfection. But that was a God at that time that, although Moses could talk to him, he couldn't see him face to face, could he? And he certainly couldn't touch him or handle him. But now we have this message that is proclaimed this morning is of a different kind of light. The same being, the three in one, the Trinity God, but the other person, the Son of God. The word tells us that God sent his Son, that he would be the light of the world. This light now wasn't on some mountain on Sinai in Israel, but he came down to be a presence with us. And this light that Hebrews tells us is an exact imprint of God. his nature, is a living word. This was a light that we could hear as we could hear the God of old, but this was a light that we could see with our eyes. They could look into the face of this God now because he was the mediator. He was the one that was going to pay the price for us, that price that we couldn't pay. And they could look on him with their eyes, and they could handle him. They could touch this word of life. They could experience the fullness of what God has to offer through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He was no longer an obscure God that we couldn't go face to face with, but he was a Savior that came down to us. We couldn't go to him because of our unholiness, but he certainly could come to us, and that is what he did when he came in the flesh. And that's the message that has been proclaimed this morning by the children, and by the songs, and by the adults, that Jesus came in the flesh to be that light in this world, the light that would illuminate the darkness. And the seventh verse goes on to say, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." He is the light of the world. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Amen. Let's close with the prayer and benediction. Father, we thank you that you saw fit to send your Son Jesus to be a man. He was fully God, but you sent him to be fully man as well.